Teach 613 proudly presents a lecture series on Perek Shira, The Song of Creation, by Rabbi Mordechai Rhein. This series was originally recorded in Young Israel at Cherry Hill. For more information about this series or other presentations by Rabbi Rhein, please visit teach613.org. We thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoy.
Perek Shira, The Whale and Financial Success. Aren't you glad you came?
Oh, yeah.
Let's begin with the pasuk. Taninim omrim, whales say, Hallelu es Hashem min ha'aretz, praise Hashem from the earth. Taninim, the sea giants, the whales, v'chol tahomos, and all the watery depths. The whales are praising Hashem with a pasuk from the earth, the whales, watery depths. What's the connection between these themes? So the first thing that we need to appreciate is that a whale is not a fish. I get some nods and some amusement. A fish has gills. It can process oxygen from the water, and it stays in the water, presumably, all the time. Occasionally it might jump out of the water for an instant, but essentially it's a water-based creature. The whale is not a fish. The whale has a spout on the top of its, typically it's on its back somewhere, and it breathes from that. And it exchanges the air, the oxygen in its lungs, big time, very quickly, and then it goes down for another dive. Essentially, a whale, it would seem, would have done a lot better on Earth, where it could go to sleep if it wants without a problem. I mean, they marine biologists are trying to figure out how the whale sleeps, because if it would go to sleep for like 3 hours underwater, it would be dead. So they think that maybe the different parts of the brain sleep consecutively, alternating. They have different ideas. When a calf, when the baby whale is born, it can't swim yet. And it's very heavy. Calf, as it's born, is the size of a full-grown hippopotamus. Now, I never had a pet hippopotamus, but I have this idea in my mind that they're pretty big. And the mother whale has to keep it above so that it can breathe. Otherwise, it's gone. This animal does not really belong in the water. It belongs on land where it could breathe. But if it would be on land, it wouldn't stand a chance.
It's
too heavy, depending on the whale, how many tons it is, but the larger blue whale is 150 tons, just like try that on for size. But most importantly, its food source is deep down. It eats things that are in the water. Now, if you have something that has to breathe, so it's got to be above water, because it doesn't have the ability to breathe underwater, and its food source is way down, 2,000 feet, let's say. So you're dealing with a very confusing dynamic, which in English we call catch 22. You can't have it up and you can't have it down. What do you do? And what Hashem does is He creates this creature with such enormity, with this need for the food source where it is, gives it the ability to essentially hold its breath for 20, 30, 90 minutes so that it can go down, feed, and then come back. and this non-fish, the whale, is sustained in the most unlikely of ways, the way Hashem sustains all of its creatures, figuring out a solution so that the animal, even though it's not in its ideal place in either location, but there's perfect balance and symmetry to make sure that the animal succeeds. And that would seem to be the theme of the pasuk, Halilu es Hashem min ha'aretz, from the land this song rings out, because really this animal would seem to belong on the land, because it breathes like all land animals. But, praise Hashem, taninim v'chol tahomos, the whale and the depths, and how to bring them together, that's the glory of the whale, that Hashem sustains everyone, each in their unusual way. As we're going to proceed with this theme of Hashem sustaining all of creation, including mankind, just appreciate that the whale, depending on the whale, but you could be dealing with it eating 8,000 pounds of food a day. We're dealing with the ability to dive. Some documentation on some whales is 2 to 3 miles down. There's also a tremendous blessing that Hashem gave the whale, which is echolocation, is what it's estimated to be, because that far down, there's no light, and they can't see. So they have to be able to feel or hear. And again, the entire concept of being sustained, you take an animal that breathes normally, that's very comfortable above water in its own way, in that enormity it would never make it on land, but in the water, with these accommodations, it is sustained. What I'd like therefore to spin off to is this concept of Hashem sustaining every creature and giving each one the skills that it needs to survive, which is just very, very pronounced by the whale and is actually true by all creation. Our first quote is an excerpt from Chovos HaLevavos Shar HaBitachon, where the Chovos HaLevavos has almost a full book in which he describes how a person should trust in Hashem, to understand how Hashem runs his world. Basic principle of Chovos HaLevavos Shar HaBitachon is that Hashem can get you your sustenance in many different ways, and there's no one way that it must happen. The entire concept, for example, of Hishtadlus, how many times do we try to accomplish something in a certain way, and we're just committed, this is the way it's going to happen, and then the blessing comes from a different source. According to the Chovos HaLevavos perspective, that's Hashem's gift to you, that you shouldn't get heady and feel, you have control and you know how to accomplish it. You do have to try, because if you wouldn't try, you'd be called lazy. And why should Hashem bother helping someone who's lazy? But after all your phone calls and after all your trying, the salvation comes from a different angle. That's actually a gift, that the Hishtadlus was necessary, it's a prerequisite. But the actual salvation is Harba Shlucham Lamakam. Hashem has many methods to cause salvation. When a person does his Hishtadlus, his effort, it's almost, perhaps it is, his simply doing the mitzvah that Hashem wants him to do. Why are you going to work today? Right? Tomorrow morning you're going to ask yourself, why am I going to work? Why? So some people answer, because I want to make money. Other people say, my boss would be angry at me. According to the Chovos HaLevavos, the answer is, I'm going to work because that's what Hashem wants me to do. Will it get me my money? Not necessarily. I know somebody who worked the entire summer in a camp, negotiated very high contract. They're going to rake it in. They'll make as much during the summer as they made all year. And at the end of the season, the camp didn't have money. So they didn't get paid. So why are you going to work? I'm going to work because that's what Hashem wants me to do. What kind of work should a person choose? So that depends on the skills that Hashem blessed you with. And in that way, the Chovos HaLevavos maintains, you could identify what Hashem expects of you. Let's see how he writes it. Hasibos rabos. The conduits for blessing are many. Mehen nekalos. Some are easy. Shatar hama'at. The exertion is very limited. We're not saying they're easy. You'll see his examples. But there's very little exertion. Kischora bachanus. Person is working in a store. Right, so we're not taking away that the person didn't put in a full day's work, standing on your feet, smiling at the customer, whatever it is, but the exertion, it's not heavy exertion. Otfirav ke'ichoy v'asafros ve'etzer ha'mischorim v'schirho arisim. A person who sews, a person who gathers merchandise, a person who hires others to work the land. These are all things that are limited exertion. Again, we're not taking away, you have to make big decisions, and it's investments, and it's money, but the exertion is very limited. Umehen sibos yesh bahem yegiyah v'torach. There are other types that have a lot of exertion. Ki ibud ha'oros, like processing hides. V'otzos ha'barzov ha'nechoshos v'ofores, mining precious metals. V'zikir ka'kesef, purifying metal. V'nosa ha'masos ha'kvedos, being a schlepper. V'leches b'drochim rechokim, traveling very far. Avodas ha'adoma, working the land, being the actual worker. So those take a lot of exertion. He's giving examples. Very simplistic examples. Exertion versus lack of exertion. Right? How many other choices are there? Millions. You pick different types of professions, and each one has totally different skills that it requires. How do you figure out which one is yours? So he writes, and I love how he bases this so elementary. B'sha'or ha'chayim, by other life forms, hitviya betevel ha'chatul tzedes ha'achborim. The cat likes to catch mice. That's it. That's his profession. He likes to do it. Hashem wires creation that they should enjoy to do their mission. There are birds who are wired to fish. They swoop down with majestic performance and they grab a fish out of the water. They're built for this. Everything has a leaning, a predisposition. Netiya v'taiva, a desire, el min mimeni yatzmachem v'hachayim, to either desire plant things, things that grow, or things that live. Hutva alav liyosiva l'mezono, and that is its source of sustenance, its success. In the animal terms, that's the equivalent of financial success, that you have what it is that you need. utuchunas gufo ve'evarav ru'uyim ladavarahu. And the entire build of the animal is designed to do what it has to do. For example, kepe ha'oruch ve'ashok ha'oruch la'of, like a certain bird that has a very long beak and very long legs, so that it could do fishing properly. Shutzadas ha'dogim, so that it could fish. It could stand in the right place and pick out of the water the fish. Ukeshen v'atziporin ha'chazak lo'ari. The claws and the teeth of the lion are designed to do what it has to do. V'ashatochin mezona min atzameach. Those that eat from plants, lo nosen lo kalei atzayid v'ateref. They are not given these types of abilities because they don't need them. Just as an aside, whales that have to eat so much have a great blessing. Their taste buds are very limited, because if they had to be choosy eaters, they would kill themselves. A whale in an anorexia. And their taste buds are very limited, and they just eat. This is one of my many favorite animal books. Cousteau's The Whale, Mighty Monarch of the Sea. And he writes there that they were whale watching in little boats. And in the midst of everything, a piece of some bottom feeder came to the top that had clearly been attacked by the whales that they were watching. It came up, and as is his custom, he likes to taste anything he sees. So the chef got a hold of it and tried to make it good, and they couldn't. Even with the seasoning, even with everything, they just couldn't do it. And the whale had no problem. Clomp, clomp, clomp. He downs it, and it sustains him. And even not being picky is also wired for survival. How does that play itself out for us? So the Chovas HaLevavos writes something very bold, the last quote on the first side. Mishu mibnei Adam chazak b'gufo v'cholash b'hakaroso. A human being who's physically strong but weak in perception. They could do schlepping, but they, book-wise, you can't stick their head into a book. So obviously he's being very extreme, because most people don't simply fit into easy categories. But he writes, in such a case, ro'i lo mehem ma sheyesh bo min hayegia. Let him choose a job that has to do with physical exertion. Kifisha yachol lisbol, according to his talents. Umishu chalosh begufo, a person who's weak physically, v'akaroso chazoko, but he has good perception. Al yivakesh misibas hateres mashem yagia gufo. Don't choose something that's going to exert you. You'll be exhausted before the day starts. Ach yata mashi yekal al gufo v'yuchel hasmid olav. Choose something that's easy on the body, so that you can endure it consistently. That's ultimately the difference, success and failure, when a person chooses something, right? We can all probably weather one day in a school. But can you do it consistently? Can you make it till the end of the school year?
That's why there's summers.
Right? Some people don't take off. They purposely take the summer, right? That means that that's something that's coming naturally. That's something that they're willing to do. You put somebody in a medical field. Some people, sight of blood, every expression in the world, they can't handle it. And there are other people, this is just fine with that. It has to be something, lahasmid alav, that you can do consistently. The mark of success is you can do it each day. Ulechol adam yesh chayfetz b'malacha oschorom ibilta zulasa. He adds in here also, not just what your physical abilities or mental abilities are, but there is a desire, a satisfaction. A person does certain things. One person sews and they feel like $1 million accomplished. Another person sews and they can't figure out what they did with themselves. I wasted 14 weeks of my life making this blanket. If you don't have satisfaction, don't do it. That's not for you. Hashem, that's not arbitrary that you're getting joy. Hashem wires you because He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to work hard, but have the skills to do that. And therefore, if you find that you have a predisposition for something, that's your way of knowing what Hashem had in mind for you. Now, the principle of bitachon, and that Hashem sustains us, is that Hashem gives us gifts, and it's our job to use them correctly. Now, some people have this illusion that it's bitachon or hishtadlus. It's like a conflict. Either I trust in Hashem, or I make the effort. The Jewish attitude is that Hashem gives you certain skills with the expectation that you're going to use them. If you don't use them, if you're lazy, so Hashem doesn't magically, unless you got a good excuse, God forbid someone's sick, he can't pick himself up, so Hashem sustains him in a miraculous way. Some other method occurs. But if Hashem gave you those gifts, our view is that those gifts were given to us by Hashem for us to go ahead and do it. And when we do it, we're not haughty, I did it, now I don't need Hashem. It's I did it with Hashem's blessing. I give you the two examples. One example, they say, I read this, Rabbi A.J. Tversky loves this story, a pastor is walking past farm country and he sees this beautifully arranged field of wheat. So he says to the farmer, look what the Lord has wrought! And the farmer, not to be outdone, says, yeah, you know what this field looked like when God was the only one here? That's the simplistic way of looking at it. Hashem without me didn't do it, because Hashem doesn't do miracles that are out of nature. He wants it to be natural. So without me, so with me, I guess it's me. And don't you realize that the intelligence, the hands, the endurance, the strategy to go ahead and plant this field and make it grow are yours as a result of Hashem's giving you those things. Take a look at the top quote on the second side. V'amarta bilvavecha, pasuk in Devarim, you will say in your heart, at the time of success, kochi va'otzem yadi, my strength, my brilliance, asali esachayel azeh, brought about this success. And the next pasuk says, you're wrong. V'zocharta, remind yourself, es Hashem Elokecha, about Hashem, ki hu anosein lecha koach la'asos chayil, because Hashem is the one who gives you strength for success. It doesn't say Hashem is the one who did it. We're not saying that Hashem planted the field and your actions were just, no, you did it. But we need you to realize that you did it because Hashem gave you those blessings to do it. Which brings us back to our, right, if Hashem wants to provide, He can provide any way He wants. But if He gave you the skills, and you're refusing to go ahead and use those skills, so it's like the person who kvetches, he has no money, and the parent says, what do you mean? There's $500 sitting right there. Use it. You tell a young kid who's holding two crackers in their hands and they ask for another one. You tell them, you already have. And that's Hashem's attitude. I give you the blessing, I expect you to use it. You go ahead and use it, it's not enough, I'll give you more. It's not the right blessing, because now, God forbid, you have a broken leg, you can't do it. I'll give you a different avenue. Hashem has plenty of avenues. But the gift that you are shining with is the gift that Hashem gave you. According to the principles of Bitachon, Hashem literally is the force behind everything that you see. You see a building, who built it? So in the world of Bitachon, Hashem built it. What do you mean Hashem built it? Hashem didn't build it. Let me go back to the records and figure out which builder built it. That's true. But how did the builders have the skill and the health and everything else to build it? Hashem did that. It's a little bit like when we say Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Did Nebuchadnezzar destroy the Beis HaMikdash? He probably was in his throne room at the time that it was destroyed. It means that under his leadership, they were able to galvanize an army with the determination to go ahead and do his bidding and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So that one being that sets it into motion, that empowers, that guides, that leads, that's the one who's credited with the accomplishment. Which brings us to strategies. Ma yase odam v'yisasher gemore nida dafayin. What should a person do if he wants to become wealthy? Amalohen, the Gemara responds, Yarbe bischora. Let him increase his business endeavors. You gotta be busy. You gotta be doing things. V'yisa v'yitin be'emuna, and you should do it honestly. On a mundane plane, people will trust you. On a spiritual plane, how else do you expect God's blessing if you're not being honest? Right? That's one of the first choices that a person can make with clarity. If what's offered to you is sustenance that Torah says you're not allowed to do, so then you know right away this is not the conduit by which Hashem intends his blessing to come. Have I got a deal for you? $500,000. All you need to do is change a few numbers. So maybe Hashem is sending me my sustenance this way. I need $500,000 right now, right? Shul building fund, right? I need $500,000. But I can tell you with clarity that this is not Hashem's conduit for the blessing. How do I know for sure? Because it's not honest. And Hashem's conduit for blessing is not through dishonesty. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that Avram would not take the money from Sodom. Sodom says, here, I'll make you wealthy from the booty of Sodom. And Avram says, I'm not taking anything. Why not? Maybe this is Hashem's way of making him wealthy. So the expression is, Hashem doesn't give wealth through a treifa table. And Sodom was the ultimate in theft. Hashem's not going to send him his bountiful blessing. Avram will take from Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim had plenty of problems with immorality, but it's not financially a treifa table. They earned their money because they were a world power. So that's different. But people who steal, that's not where my money's coming from. I can tell you that for sure. Gemara says, Yisa v'yitim be'emuna, honest relationships. Amru lo, so they asked. Harba also v'lo ho'ilu. There are many people that tried that and it didn't work. They didn't become wealthy. Ella, Yevakish rachamim emisha ha'osha shalom. You have to daven also. Shenemar li hakesef li hazav. Hashem owns money. And if you want, you got to ask him. Maikom ashmalon. And what does this teach us? Taha b'lo ha lo sagi. That one without the other, if you were to pray, but you weren't going to use the skills that Hashem gave you, or you would use the skills that Hashem gave you, but you didn't pray, so those are not foolproof methods. There are people that become wealthy, yeah, but that's not a method. A strategy is, you got to do these three things. Increase business activity, honestly, and that. You do that, the Gemara says, your blessing is in the pipeline. Now, the question that came up is, if Hashem wires us perfectly, and Hashem created us the way he created the cat and the whale and everybody else to do exactly what they need to do, so the human being is more complex, fine. Not only are there skills and strengths, but there's all kinds of different dimensions to intellect. Everybody should be happy at the job that they have. So what happened? So Rab Meir Omer, Rab Meir says, truthfully, in ideal circumstances, you could choose a job that you enjoy. It'll be a job. It doesn't mean it's going to be a hobby. It'll be a job. Right? So some people just don't like being tied down. So that's why they don't like their job. They should be so lucky, 9 to 5. The reason they don't like it is because it's 9 to 5. That's why they don't like it. So that, I don't know if we can help, because you know, there's such a thing as working and responsibility. But the type of responsibility that it should be something that I enjoy doing, that I should have the skills for it, that should come naturally. So Rav Meir says, really, you should be able to. You should teach your child an easy profession. Now, what's easy? I don't think this is an objective issue of what's easy. And some person that loves schlepping, makes him feel good. It's good day's work. Easy means to match the person. Choose the profession that matches the person. And don't worry. Don't worry that that job doesn't always produce a great salary. Choose the profession that matches the person. For Yispalo and Davin, as we said in the previous quote, Lemisha Oshavan Chosim Shalo, to Hashem, who owns all assets of the world. And he says the key. She'ein umnes, she'ein ba'anias va'ashiros. There is no profession that doesn't have poor and rich people in that profession. She'ein anias mina umnes. Poverty doesn't come as a result of the profession. V'lo ashiros mina umnes. And wealth doesn't come from the profession. It depends on your merit. If you merit it, if Hashem blesses you, you get it. If not, not. We know countless people, there's this illusion, right, that doctors, they've got it made. So after they pay back their loans, after they pay up their malpractice insurance, and after they have the kind of car that they need to have to live up to their name respectably, it's not clear. Some yeah, some not. There are a lot of painters who do better. How can it be? It's not fair. Well, we use the word fear. Anything that's different than my expectation is not fair. And he's saying, that's not the way it works. Rav Shimon ben Elazar continues on the theme and says, perfect for Perek Shira, Ra'isa miyamecha, did you ever see chaya va'uf sheyesh lahem umnes, an animal or a bird that has a profession? You know, he's got to go to work. He's carrying his briefcase. What does he mean? I mean, they sure do go to work. The lion, I mean, he exerts it. But what does he means, but they do what they have to do. I have a job. They do what's natural for them. They don't purposely turn themselves over quadruple backwards to do something that promises a good salary. They do what's normal. I'm there in this world to be service to mankind. And I'm a level higher than them because I'm here with a soul to serve my master, Hashem. I'm on a level higher. Doesn't it make sense that it should come naturally for me? Ella, what's the answer? Shehurati ma'asai, my shortcomings in my behavior, I don't merit it. V'kiparti es panososi, I messed it up. But essentially, you're 100% correct. Every person, there's responsibility in a job, there's exertion in a job, but it should come naturally. It should be things that the person is comfortable doing and enjoys doing and gets satisfaction from doing. And if a person finds that they're not using the skills or they haven't discovered their own skills, so essentially, that's a problem. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The curse of having to work, the klala that was given to Adam in Chumash Bereishis, is not that he should therefore be in total trepidation and pain and all those feelings that people claim certain jobs give. That's not what we're talking about. Person has to work, but it's supposed to come naturally according to their own skills. Now, the result of this entire mind frame, which the Chovas HaLevavos in our last quote brings out, is that if a person finds that their profession, their chosen profession, and they chose it well and with wisdom, and they're willing to work, that profession dead-ended for them. And it's not producing a salary. So the first reaction, should not be, let me change professions. According to the Chovas HaLevavos, if you chose it correctly, and that's what Hashem wants of you, then switching professions is not going to earn you a greater salary. Because you're doing what Hashem wants you to do, and the amount you earn is up to Hashem's decision, switching professions is not going to increase. That's the first reaction, which is common, is so let me switch professions. That first reaction as being a first reaction is not a Jewish reaction. Jewish reaction is, this is what Hashem's giving me. Now, it could be that this is Hashem's way of telling you, try something else. And therefore, after the first reaction, there is such a thing as soul searching, as we call it, and trying to identify maybe a different profession would make more sense for me. But the first reaction is not, so let me jump. Because if a person can truly identify their strengths, so again, maybe they have to fine-tune the strengths. Maybe it's not in this field, it's slightly different. But for a person to jump from one area to a total other without caring about those guiding things that Hashem gave them, so then the estimation of Chazal is you're not going to earn a penny more. You're going to earn exactly what Hashem wanted to give you. Now, sometimes a person has skills and they're intended to be hobbies, not jobs. There are lots of considerations. But again, the first reaction is Hashem gives you what He wants to give you as long as you're doing your thing. You take a look at the last quote. Misha motza b'midosav v'tivo kosef ha'malacha me'hamalachos. A person finds that their character, their skills, they have a desire for a certain legitimate job. It's considered a job. I'm not saying that a guy should just dream up that he likes to weave rubber bands and he likes to do that. It's silly. But if it's a legitimate job, V'yegufo ra'uy la, and his body is built for this. V'yuchal lispa l'stircha, every job has its strain. It may be patience, or it may be physical exertion, whatever its strain is, you're able to do that strain. Use that as the conduit for your sustenance. And you should shoulder its sweetness and its bitterness. Don't reject it. If occasionally it doesn't bring in the sustenance that you wanted, because that's Hashem's decision. Recognize that Hashem is the one who provides, who provided you with the skills and provides you with the sustenance. That Hashem supplies you with your sustenance your entire life. Getting back to our whale, to me, the whale symbolizes that ultimate contradiction. There's no way that something this big that needs to breathe normally is going to make it, especially when his food is 2,000 feet down. But Hashem designs the whale as he designs everything in creation in a way that the animal, the person, will survive. And that's the words, Hallu es Hashem min ha'aretz, if your perspective is the earth, which your perspective has to be when you study a whale, because it breathes from above water. And ideally, theoretically, it would be on the land where it could breathe nicely. It doesn't belong there, but it has that accommodation of breathing. Taninim v'chol tahomos, the whale and the depths from where it gets its sustenance.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Mordechai Rein. For more information, or to bring Rabbi Rein as a guest lecturer to your community, please call 908-770-9072 or email rmrein@teach613.org. You can also visit us on the web at teach613.org.